From the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. As the coronavirus outbreak approaches a pandemic, global leaders and health officials are scrambling to contain the fallout that has sparked quarantines and many other emergency actions around the world. It is a scenario that has been planned for, and in one case just months ago, at a gathering of leaders in global finance, policy, and healthcare. Bloomberg's Janet Wu was there and brings us this report.
The date was October 18th. International business, government, and public health leaders gathered at the Pierre Hotel in New York. Their goal that day was to simulate a coordinated response to a hypothetical but scientifically plausible global viral outbreak.
We're at the start of what's looking like it will be a severe pandemic.
Simulated news reports describe a virus that emerged in a small farm in South America that jumped from sick animals to farmers.
It began in healthy-looking pigs. A new coronavirus spread silently within herds.
This simulation is a joint exercise between the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, the World Economic Forum, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
The sickest required intensive care. Many died.
We have to be prepared for all pandemics, and the possibility of a rapidly moving airborne pandemic is one that we really particularly have to get ready for, because it'll probably be in several countries before we even know it.
Chris Elias is president of global development for the Gates Foundation. He leads the effort to deliver healthcare products and solutions to those who need them most.
I met Bill Gates not long ago, and he described this before the New England Journal of Medicine as one of his worst nightmares.
What could kill 10 million people today? You know, nuclear war, an asteroid, and a pandemic.
So far, the World Health Organization is stopping short of calling the COVID-19 outbreak a pandemic. The current situation comes close to the technical criteria for the term, a virus that mushrooms across multiple continents. But the WHO says COVID-19 falls short of causing large-scale severe disease or death.
In the 20th century, we had three big pandemics of influenza. The biggest one in 1918 killed more people than both World War I and World War II put together. And 100 years later, we're in an even more interconnected world.
And that's the real fear here. Advances have made the world smaller and therefore more vulnerable to communicable disease. We're seeing international travel spread this new coronavirus from China to other countries in Asia, Europe, the Middle East, and North and South America. That concern is what prompted this 3.5-hour exercise back in October to put a spotlight on important gaps in preparation for a pandemic and create solutions to fill those gaps.
It's not easy gathering all of these business executives together in one place to do this, but these games, for lack of a better word, are important.
You know, you can write and read about the best practices, but when you simulate with actual breaking news and alerts coming in, you get people to think what they might do if they really faced it. It's really thinking through, how would we manage our supply chain? How would we communicate across regions about this outbreak?
That's what brought the business and policy leaders to the Pierre Hotel more than 4 months ago to simulate a response to a fictitious global health crisis. As the morning progressed, the scenario turned stark.
We could be looking at double the number of cases in 1 week and 16 times as many in a month. In 3 months, we could be approaching 10 million cases.
In this simulation, the virus spreads from South America to North America, then to Europe, as passengers board planes unaware they're infected.
International travel has turned local epidemics into a pandemic.
Participants in this exercise include Martin Knuschel, head of crisis and emergency management for the German airline group Lufthansa.
That's the risk we are facing, and we are aware of this. We will be the first one to hit it, and we will spread it around.
Also taking part in this simulation, Latoya Abbott, crisis and occupational health director for Marriott International.
It would be one of our worst nightmares, but one thing about Marriott, we are very into and on top of business continuity, making sure our crisis plans are always together.
She's joined by C-suite executives from global companies including UPS, healthcare companies like Johnson & Johnson, lead health officials from China and Nigeria, plus representatives from the United Nations, the Centers for Disease Control, and the World Bank. And of course, the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, which created this scenario. I spoke with Director Tom Inglesby.
These are the kinds of exercises that Bill Gates has called germ games. The idea is for people to try and imagine themselves in the story, to feel the full consequences of it, to get experiential learning. That's the goal.
The World Health Organization responds to roughly 200 epidemics a year. This simulation was dubbed Event 201, named for a hypothetical 201st outbreak that could be the catastrophic one.
We've had some near misses, such as the SARS virus in the early 2000s, which spread to multiple countries around the world with a high case fatality rate. We have viruses in the world that now have a case fatality rate of 50%. They kill one in two people they infect. So we have to be better prepared, and we have to have global systems in place to be able to take care of people, to ensure travel and trade doesn't collapse, to try and avoid the worst economic consequences.
In this simulated exercise from October, they play out the very worst case scenario.
People are avoiding public spaces out of fear of infection. This has had a dramatic effect.
The spread of misinformation via social media is another new risk not seen in earlier 20th century pandemics, and it can have a devastating impact. Ryan Morhard leads global health security for the World Economic Forum.
A large chunk of the economic impact that we see doesn't come from the virus itself. It comes from the way we react to it. And that's actually reason for optimism. There are things that we can do to reduce economic impact and reduce impact on lives and livelihoods.
Participants in this exercise are asked to respond to the fictitious pandemic in a variety of ways. Business leaders must protect their workforce and manage financial fallout. Government officials must deploy dollars and resources, while health officials support national and international efforts. In this simulation, the outcome turns disastrous.
The outcome of the CAPS pandemic in Event 201 was catastrophic. 65 million people died in the first 18 months. Cases were occurring in nearly every country. The global economy was in a free fall. Economists say the economic turmoil caused by such a pandemic will last for years, perhaps a decade. We have to ask, are there things we could have done that would have lessened the catastrophic consequences?
In this exercise from October, and in nearly all cases, the answer is yes, according to the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security Director, Tom Inglesby.
We've had pandemics in the past. We absolutely will have them again. Every global health expert agrees on that. So now is the time to prepare for this.
Most health experts expect a far milder fallout from the current coronavirus. The mortality rate is much lower than the SARS outbreak of 17 years ago, though this virus appears to spread more easily. Still, simulations like this one from late last year and the fight against the current outbreak are a stark reminder of the damage that's possible from a truly global pandemic. I'm Janet Wu, Bloomberg Daybreak.